Those home DNA kits that people are using to find their lineage have been helpful in that regard, but they have grown into something more. And the question is it good or bad? Joining us this morning, Sherry Preston of ABC News. Sherry, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Good morning, Steve. I think we should check you and I's DNA lineage going back to the Saluki days and then Champagne Urbana days,
yeah,
correct?
Absolutely. We should let our listeners know we go way back to the late 1980s, I believe, in Carbondale.
We both went to Carbondale, and then when you worked at WLW, remember that, in Champagne?
Right, uh-huh.
And I worked at a little teeny tiny station, Z95, which is no longer, where the Z is for Zeppelin. But we would listen to your news because you did news so well. I'm not kidding you, Steve. We would listen and we would go, God, where do they get that story? Where do they have that?
Right.
That's how good you were.
And oftentimes you and I were racing together in separate cars to breaking news on a daily basis.
To teacher strikes and all sorts of things like that.
Yeah,
so good to talk to you again.
Yeah,
how are you doing?
Here.
I hope you're well.
Yeah, I'm doing well, and I hope you are too. Good times. It's nice to go down memory lane. I have not done one of these DNA tests yet, but I know a lot of people in my family have, Sherry. I guess people have good intentions when they take these tests, but what's going on with what they've become?
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you've done one, Steve, because you can find, these scientists have looked at this and say that you can match people to a third cousin or closer, even if you yourself have never done the DNA test. Other people in your family have, other distant relatives have. One scientist tells Scientific American that if you think of your family like the layers of an onion, when you get to the distant relatives, the chances of a link going back to you are a whole lot higher because that onion gets bigger. So there's other people who have done the DNA testing, and yours might already be out there. The majority of us, it is, even if you have never done it. I mean, so it's something that you're kind of going, well, how can they do that? But what they do is they put the information in, and then it comes up, and then your family tree is there.
It doesn't seem like that's a big deal if it's all kept under lock and key and nobody else can see it, but I bet you that's not happening, is it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can use this for not good things. Here's an example. I've got relatives were there in Illinois, and my father-in-law called us recently to say that he had got a phone call from somebody who, you know, it sounded younger, said, hey, Grandpa, this is our son, saying, hey, Grandpa, I'm in jail. I got in trouble for a DUI. You need to send me money right away. He started talking to him for a while, and finally he said, what's your middle name? And the person on the other end couldn't give the middle name, so he hung up, and he called us, father-in-law called us, we called the local police, and they said, yeah, people are using these for scams like this. They're using this and stuff that they, other things that they found online, information about you that, you know, you might not have your identity stolen, but it might be used for something like this that other people are using it for. So it's a little scary.
And the other thing that's scary about this, too, I think it's good and scary at the same time, is how law enforcement is using some of this. I know recently there was the story about the serial killer that was tracked down, but I'm guessing police departments can use some of this information to track down a suspect, good or bad, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can think of it in terms of, if you think of it in terms of the Golden State Killer that you're talking about, police actually submitted DNA from crime scenes and they put it into a public genealogy database. And they hit upon a distant relative of somebody who they thought might be this guy. Then they did the stakeout. Then they were able to arrest that 72-year-old former police officer who was charged with the decades-old crimes. So that can be used for that. It can also be used for, however, if people are saying, well, what about in the future? You know, if police don't like me because I'm protesting or something, maybe you got something that is against what the government's doing. They could take your DNA test, search that, look to find out who you are, and then, you know, and then correspond to there. Could be other things happening as well. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's all out there, and if you think about everything that's out there, all the data that's out there, whether it's, you know, from Facebook and Twitter to DNA testing, it's kind of scary.
It's more than scary. I know it's overused, but to say the genie's out of the bottle on this, the question I was going to ask is there something legislatively that can be done to protect this a little bit better, or is this just the new normal now?
I think you would have to push for that. The genealogy is out of the bottle. Get it? but I mean, I think that you would have to push for that. You would have to have, you know, somebody do that. And when you've got a situation, you know, like take what happened with Elizabeth Warren yesterday, very publicly using, you know, the information from her genealogical background, you know, to advance her, whatever she, politically or whatever, you know, to prove that she does have that in her background. I mean, if you're going to do that, you're going to look to lawmakers to pass some sort of law like that to do that. You're going to have people push for that, and it's going to have to be. I mean, so far we haven't gone very far and done very well when it comes to privacy issues, whether it be, you know, in our online profile or our genealogical profile. So, I mean, that's something that people would have to push for if they feel strongly about it.
You know, and it feels like we're the next step is going to be the pre-crime law department. You know, that movie with Tom Cruise where they were able to predict crimes before they happened based on that data. That's probably the next thing that's coming.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Minority Report was based on a great story by science fiction writer Harry Cruz. And his, you know, the things that he was writing about 50 years ago are many of them coming true now. But, yeah, looking and going, how can we predict that this person will do this based on, you know, their profile and their genealogical profile? I'm not an expert on that. I can't predict it, but one can only think that, you know, look where we've come just in the past 10 years and where we may go with artificial intelligence and everything else in the next 10.
All right, Sherry, good stuff. And again, good talking with you. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Okay, take care, Steve. Have a good one and have a great day. And I'm sorry, I didn't want to say it. I was going to say go Brewers, but I won't.
All right.
I won't.
It's all right, go Brewers.
Okay, take care.
Sherry Preston with ABC News with us this morning from New York.